Right now on News Radio 930 WBEN to help us digest this, and we'll keep him on until after the news at 5:30. In other words, we'll start now, and then we will be rejoined by him. We go to Jeff Rinaldo, a retired Buffalo police captain with Vista Security Group. Jeff, thank you very much for being us. First of all, your initial reaction to this event that we have seen and we've heard unfolding in Kansas City.
Well, good afternoon, Tom. I could tell you my initial reaction was one of absolute disgust for it, and it's the nightmare that law enforcement hopes never happens when you have these types of events in your city. You have a large crowd of people. It's in an open, uncontrolled space, and unfortunately, somebody or somebody's produces a handgun, and this is the result. It's a nightmare situation for law enforcement. They have to respond to and try to stop that threat.
And can you just discuss some of the measures that was mentioned briefly in the press conference in Kansas City, but some of the measures that typically are put into place by law enforcement prior to a large-scale public gathering, like, for example, a Super Bowl parade or just any kind of massive public gathering, maybe something as benign as the New Year's ball drop?
Sure. So, I mean, every year what you do is whenever you're going to have one of these events, you have a large security meeting with the people that are planning it. Generally, the security company or companies that are involved, the law enforcement agencies, depending on the size of the crowd, a police department will determine if they need to bring in mutual aid, which consists of asking your state police, your sheriffs, your adjoining jurisdictions to assist. And then you come up with an operations plan. Basically, you establish a command post. You determine where you're going to have your officers stationed. You assign them posts and call numbers so that as they're needed, you know where they are when they're calling out. In Buffalo, we would bring in a Buffalo police dispatcher to handle the communications piece. You then collaborate with your first responders in terms of your first aid and fire, and you have them in your command post so that if they're needed, they're hearing it right from the horse's mouth in terms of what they need, where they need to respond. And then you come up with a staging plan. But in terms of the law enforcement side, you know, when you have these open air events, you're basically putting officers on the ground and they can only see what's kind of right immediately in front of them. And then you have what's called an overwatch, which is officers on elevated position, generally on rooftops or buildings or utilizing skywatch, you know, those elevated observation platforms. And they have the bird's eye view. So the goal is that they can see something brewing or if something, God forbid, does happen, they can direct the officers on the ground to that area to respond quickly. But again, anytime you're having these parades or open air events, you cannot conduct screening. You can't really do bag checks. You're not using weapons detectors. So you're really relying on a heavy police presence to deter any type of, you know, criminal activity. But unfortunately, it doesn't appear as if it worked today.
You know, as far as some criminal activity where there is actionable intelligence, you can be a little more proactive. This appears to have been, and again, appears to have been, being the operative part of the expression, an incident involving a couple of criminals. Joining us is Jeff Rinaldo, former Buffalo police captain. I'm going to say retired Buffalo police captain because you never leave that white shirt behind. And he is with Vista Security. Jeff, we were talking about what might have prompted this situation. And I don't know if you've heard anything more than what we have heard, but apparently, according to CBS, the shooting appears to be criminally related, possibly the result of an argument or dispute that turned violent. Can you address that? I mean, it's impossible to prepare for that as a law enforcement person.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, this is what you see time and time again, right? We've seen it even in our city on Chippewa, where a dispute breaks out amongst, you know, a small group of people. Somebody produces a handgun, and innocent people are shot and killed as a result of that. It's an absolute tragedy, but in terms of how do you address these types of things from happening in large crowds that are not controlled, it's virtually impossible for the officers there. You know, you're planning always at these events for a mass shooter type situation, right? Somebody that's going to come into this space carrying a rifle, heavily armed, and attempt to cause as much damage as possible. But then you have this variable as well, where a dispute breaks out, somebody pulls a gun, and unfortunately, innocent people are struck and killed.
In a situation like this, and in crowd management at one of these events where anything can happen, what is the purpose of having a helicopter in the air?
Well, the helicopter, again, can see a bird's eye view of the situation, but what they can also see that an officer on a building can't is they can see the surrounding area, right? They can see if there is some type of threat or vehicle approaching the area at a high rate of speed. They can also see if there's, you know, some type of disturbance happening a block, two, three blocks away. So it gives very good live time intel to the command post that's overseeing this event to let them know that, hey, something's happening three blocks around the corner. Let's get some officers there to address this if it attempts to enter the space that we're protecting.
And how about somebody mentioned snipers, that it is not unusual in a situation like this to have law enforcement snipers at the ready in basically bird's nests positions to do what needs to be done should one of these maniacs like that guy in Vegas who killed 60 people at a concert do his craziness.
Absolutely. That's part of the Overwatch program. So you'll have officers up on rooftops. Some of those officers undoubtedly were SWAT team members and snipers. And again, it's therefore the fact that if somebody was to produce a weapon in the crowd and they were visible, that officer is going to be tasked with eliminating that threat so as to minimize the amount of casualties that that person can cause when they pull that weapon out.
Let's talk for a moment, if we can. I mentioned earlier that this scene around Kansas City's Union Station, which I'm sure you're aware from your law enforcement background, was the scene of a terrible shooting in 1933 in which four peace officers were killed along with a gangster. They were transported by the name of Nash. So the Kansas City, that Union Station, has seen its share of horrific scenarios unfold over the years, but again, Kansas City Union Station has become a crime scene. Can you address the importance of taking your time with a crime scene and the special difficulties of a crime scene in which so many people were present and which evidence may very well have been trampled or kicked out of the way?
Well, you know, for the crime scene investigators, anything that happens out in the public, and especially where there were potentially, you know, thousands of witnesses to this, trampling evidence is beyond challenging. The goal is that once that threat is eliminating, to render aid to the victims, but then to quickly try to secure that crime scene. From what I'm seeing, it appears that they had over 800 police officers assigned to this rally today. So I would say they were well prepared for the size crowd that they had. Undoubtedly, they had a great plan in place. And all you can do is, as quickly as possible, try to secure that scene. But, you know, at this point now, they are literally going to be combing through garbage and every single physical item that happens to be within X amount of radius of where the victims were, as well as where it appears that they did make two arrests, so those suspects were.
Will the technology that has been introduced over the past 10 to 15 years be of tremendous assistance in processing this kind of an outdoor, wide-open crime scene?
It will. There's systems out there that are used. You see them used heavily in traffic investigations, accident investigations, where they basically create a digital map of the crime scene. And what investigators do is from the point of the machine, they are able to measure in exact real-time distances of all the evidence that they collect. So they can virtually recreate a crime scene for investigators' use, as well as later on for use in the court cases.
We're talking with Captain Jeff Rinaldo, BPD, retired with Vista Security on the Trocare College WBEN live line. Captain, as far as the video cameras, I would imagine that as much as the Red Cross in Kansas City and the hospitals are putting out the call for blood, the law enforcement people are going to be going through surveillance cameras at the businesses, as well as people's cell phones who might have captured something of evidentiary value.
Sure. The video canvas in a case like this will be enormous. So like you said, this is going to involve officers walking the grounds of where this event occurred, looking for video cameras, then contacting those businesses or residences, if there are any in the area, to get a look to see what they caught on camera. And, you know, when you have hundreds of thousands of people at an event, we live in a society where nobody watches anything anymore. They just film it on their phone for whatever reason. So you will see a large call and request on behalf of the law enforcement entities there for people that if they did capture something, to submit that via a portal of some sort to the police department so that they can start putting this thing together. The video will be crucial in determining, you know, you have two people with guns, but Kansas City, from what I'm seeing, has got some less restrictive gun laws than, for instance, New York State does. So is this a case where one person pulled the gun and another one pulled it as an act of self-defense? And did his bullet strike somebody accidentally, or did the guy that originally pulled the weapon bullet strike somebody, so now it's a murder? It's going to be a very, very complex investigation there to determine what happened.
And in this case, in this kind of a case, I'd imagine that the video evidence for both the prosecution and the defense is going to be of great importance.
Absolutely, especially if there's any video catching the initial incident and what sparked these rounds to be fired. Without that, it really could turn into a large he said, she said in terms of what the suspects might say, and if they aren't willing to cooperate and speak, then you are trying to recreate backwards the event from the point of where are your victims to where were the shots fired and what was the motive behind it.
To recap, at the conclusion of the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade and rally, gunshots rang out, and there was panic in Kansas City, as you might imagine, and a total of 10 people, according to the KC Fire Department, 10 people were shot. Of those who were shot, 3 in critical condition, 1 dead, 2 under arrest. That is according to KMBZ. We had some of their coverage earlier. And other reports of 15 people injured. How many of those were gunshot? How many of those were trampling injuries, if any? We do not know. It's a fluid situation. These things always are. In the immediate aftermath. And we're talking with Jeff Rinaldo, Captain, retired, Buffalo Police Department, with Vista Security. And talking about the prosecution of a case like this, you certainly have been through your fair number of trial days, I'm sure in homicide and other cases. What kind of arguments are, I know you're not an attorney, but what kind of arguments are likely to come up? You mentioned earlier something about a self-defense argument being possible in a situation like this.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, I'm sure the state of Missouri has similar laws to New York in terms of ours is called Article 35. It's the defense of justification that says if I used force, was I justified? And if so, what's the legal statute or the reason that allows me to use that force? So depending on how Missouri's laws are set up, one or more of the parties involved in this could potentially look to make a justification defense to say, hey, yes, I did this, but here's why. Generally, though, these laws don't allow you to be reckless in the use of that force in terms of just taking a gun and spraying it towards somebody. You are responsible, even as a police officer, for every single bullet that leaves your gun. But again, these are all possibilities that, you know, law enforcement has to consider when they're investigating this crime. so as to be able to appropriately charge those responsible.
And, of course, not just from a criminal culpability standpoint, but also from a civil liability standpoint, because, as you said, you let a round go. You own that round.
100%. I mean, the civil litigation for an event like this is going to be astronomical. And basically every entity under the sun will probably be named at some point in it. But the civil investigation will start, you know, quite some time after the criminal. But right now it's just a matter of, again, trying to figure out who's responsible for what, why did it happen, and what, you know, what went wrong in terms of could it have been addressed quicker, could it have been prevented? You know, those are all questions that the investigation is going to look into.
Jeff Rinaldo, did we learn anything as a result of today's tragedy in Kansas City?
Well, I think, unfortunately, Tom, the lesson was already learned. I think that law enforcement, for quite some time now, has been aware of the possibility of things like this happening in these events. As I said, you know, in my time with the police department, the amount of planning that we would do anytime we were having a parade or a 4th of July or any other large-scale public event, the planning was massive. The amount of resources that the department has to expend to properly protect these events is massive. It's expensive. And really, at the end of the day, no matter the best job that the police can do to try to protect us, things like this can happen, and today is the sad reality of what every cop's nightmare is when it comes to these large-scale public events.
Now, Captain, thank you very much for sharing your time and your expertise with us. Much appreciated, and someday maybe we'll get a chance to talk under nicer circumstances.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tom. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Captain Jeff Rinaldo, Buffalo Police Department, retired with Vista Security.